It's our musical episode.
Yeah. Welcome to Comes Naturally, our non-musical episode, so no singing. Before we go into intro, Michael, business please.
Yes, this podcast is completely free, so we ask you to do a couple things to help show and support us. Help show and support us?
Yep.
Help show support to us. Help and
all
show
of that.
Support to us. Basically, what I'm saying is a couple things we would like you to do is please go to the Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page, look odd at Joe while he puts sunglasses on his microphone. Now your sunglasses are really cool. Anyway.
The mic is really cool.
So, sorry. Yeah, go to our Facebook page. Like and share the Facebook page, and when you share the Facebook page, make sure you tell people they have to like it, and that you're not just spamming them with bullshit, that this is an important thing that everyone needs to get behind, or not, either way. So you just give a brief description of what it is, so people kind of know what it is you're trying to pimp out to them. After you do that, you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
@ComesNaturalPod.
Yep. And after you do that, if you get us through iTunes, which the majority of you do, please rate and review the podcast if you haven't done so already. And also subscribe to the podcast. When you subscribe, it just makes it to where the episodes automatically download for you every Friday when they become available, so you don't have to go searching for it every week. It helps us out. You get it a lot easier. And everyone is happy. Let's start this bitch up.
Yeah. Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
My name is Mike.
I'm Cody. Our special guest today is
Eric.
Yay, the return of Mungers. So on today's episode, we're doing favorite Robert Downey Jr. movies.
Because what prompted this was the big news that broke recently.
That Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in Captain America 3 as Iron Man and Tony Stark, I guess both.
To do the Civil War story.
An adaptation of the Civil War story.
Yeah, it can't be the... Because they don't have all those characters, but...
Yeah.
If they can work out the deal with Sony to get Spider-Man, we can have Iron Spider.
Oh, God.
Whoa, what's wrong with that?
No, it'd be awesome. I just don't think Sony's ever going to give up Spider-Man.
They're supposedly in talks right now. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
Well, there'd be that, and then how would Marvel throw it into its current universe would be the next question. Are you going to go with an origin story?
If you get Spider-Man, I don't think you can just throw him in the Civil War storyline. Like, you have to give him his own shit for a little bit.
It'd be fine.
He just pops up in a scene, and you're like, hey there, buddy. Like, where have you been? Well, you know, I've been in New York this whole time. You know, you didn't see me in the Avengers, but...
I was running
high. I was there in the background.
Fuck.
You see that speck in way off in the distance?
They release a deluxe edition of Avengers, and it has...
You see him swinging.
Swinging in the background. You just see some of the bad guys get pulled by webs off of their, like, flying, like, motorcycle things that they had. Just, bam, whipped off by webs. You're like, oh... They did. Yeah. He was there.
They could pull a George Lucas.
I
was going to say, they could fuck Hawkeye even more and just make it, instead of the arrows taking people down, webs are pulling them off.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
So this is our digitally remastered version.
Every time they cut to Hawkeye, it's Spider-Man. Yeah. It's like, you could still see like Hawkeye behind him. He's just sitting there throwing webs.
Well, what they could do is they could be like, hey, he didn't get his powers until after Avengers 1. You know what I mean? And so, like, because of all the aliens, they were using the technology, and that when they were irradiating the spiders, so it happened after.
But there would still be like the city was basically destroyed.
Not destroyed. There was one section of that was like
destroyed,
not in good shape.
This kind of goes along, not really, but sort of. The other thing that the Captain America 2 directors, what are their guys' names? The brothers.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They basically said that, I don't think they said it was Frank Castle. But
yes,
did they actually say it?
Yeah, in the DVD commentary, they actually said it, but because they couldn't get the rights for it before they shot the scene, was it?
No.
Before they came out the movie.
Yeah, before the movie was released, they didn't have the rights back yet for Punisher, so they couldn't actually say it was Punisher.
They put it in there knowing. So anyway, what we're saying is Punisher was in Captain America 2,
yeah.
Even though you didn't see him. What happens is in the big car scene with
three
Nick
times
Fury,
in the movie.
Three times? I thought it was...
Nope, three times
it was twice.
In the movie. No, it's three times in the movie. A Penske truck saves one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And that is the scenes they shot with what was supposed to be Frank Castle / Punisher.
Actually, did they ever announce who the actor was?
No.
No.
They couldn't.
Because I think they knew the whole time it wasn't going to...
Well, because in the original cut, they were never going to actually show him. They were going to allude... They were going
to mention... Okay, so
that,
this was more of just alluding to that it was
They're
the
like,
Punisher.
We're planting the seeds. Well, it's like they knew they were going to get him, but it wasn't official yet.
Well, they already had the... They resorted back. They just waited for the contract, and the contract wasn't done by the time the movie was coming out.
So because of that, they're like, bam, this is going to be Punisher. We just can't say it yet. And then when the DVD commentary and all that blah, blah came out. So that's pretty awesome that Punisher is now back where it belongs. And hopefully we get
I'm hoping that I see him in that we see him in Daredevil at one point. The Netflix show would be awesome.
Speaking of Daredevil, a lot of people...
Speaking of Daredevil, did you see the dope-ass fucking costume reveal?
Yes.
Yes, Frank Miller costume with the bandana around the face with the exposed mouth.
Dude, oh, it's all fucking over covering sick. Everything.
Yeah. So dope.
It looked. Oh no, I did see that. It looked like it was black though.
It is black.
Just
really? That's his original costume. Was black.
Mm-hmm.
So dope. I was like,
and it'd be awesome if that was like the first season. They just kept that costume.
Yeah,
at
the end, like he got the.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Puts on the red. Hopefully, cool. They do it like they did. Unlike they did the Ben Affleck's one, where it was like all one suit, like all one piece. You know, because I don't know if. Watching The Flash, I was happy.
Ben Affleck's
wasn't one
piece. It was a jacket.
Oh, it was a jacket, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
you could
it was
buy
a two-piece.
Yeah.
But
like,
but
the Flash one.
Technically, three-piece if you include the mask.
Yeah. The Flash, I was worried it was going to be...
And it's
like,
so it's a
like,
four-piece suit.
Weirdo. So in The Flash, I was worried it was going to be like a unitard, you know? Where they, but they actually did it a separate like jacket from pants, which that was a better idea. Because like...
The Flash costume looked pretty good for a TV show. I was all like, not bad, people. Yeah. Not bad. But more on the Punisher. You think they're just gonna throw him into the Netflix series, or
they could? I mean, he's not part of the Defenders, so I mean, they wouldn't really put him in that group.
I really think you gotta go movie for him.
Nah, I mean, it'd be good for a series,
a ground level kind of movie. I guess I don't know. They're all gonna be popular, but I just really, you know, what pissed me off. Because a lot of people forget this, but Frank Castle showed up in Spider-Man 2, the original Spider-Man 2. The original Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2. Thomas Jane, right? The guy who did the first Punisher.
He was
a real quick cameo. Like, he was in the background, but they show his face, like, clear as day. They show him, and he's standing there, and he's looking. Like, you're like, oh, shit, that's Punisher, because it's right after Punisher came out. And so that was the plan, was to do... have him in Spider-Man 3. So it was like a little tease setup that he was supposed to be.
But the problem with that was
studios.
He left.
No, problem was because Lionsgate has it and their contract never went through with Sony.
Well,
and
but
then he
but
left
Thomas and, Jane also left too. So
well,
that
that's
was cuz like,
he read the script and was like, "Oh, this is god awful."
Warzone. Yeah. Warzone wasn't good. Super violent, had some cool kill scenes in it, but not very
and
good.
And Jigsaw was cool looking.
Yeah.
Those fucking
and Newman was in it. From Seinfeld. That was weird.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, Newman's helping Punisher out with all his weapons.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
No wonder he's cranky.
You imagine he's doing the postal thing was just a cover up. It's all the same world. Like that world
Seinfeld
exists in that world. Newman's cover up is a postal worker. That's why he's like never getting the mail out because he's never really working in the postal office.
Gross.
Newman.
Oh, that'd be awful.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
They come back, they do like a Seinfeld reunion, and they come back and like New York's been half destroyed by superheroes.
Frank Castle. when they finally give us that like reunion episode of Seinfeld, which they technically did with Curb, but they finally give us an actual Seinfeld reunion. It's like they're going to be referencing like Jerry's stand up is going to involve the Avengers and Captain America jokes because they're real people in his world. I like it. Somebody's shit just went off because. All right. So.
Okay. All right. So back on topic. So favorite Robert Downey Jr.'s movies.
How are we doing this? Are we going to list all three?
We will go. We'll go around. So one each.
around each.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll start with our special guest, Eric Munger. What's the first one you want to bring guest. Up?
Let's not blow smoke.
I'll start with...
Hey.
Wow.
Hey. I like to make him feel special.
I'll blow whatever I want.
I'll start with back to school.
Goddamn fucking Canadians.
That's gross.
Anyways, Eric, what was your first one?
Back to school.
There you go.
His character in there was kind of an anti-everything, anti-popularity, anti-college, but he's in college. My favorite scene has to be when they're at the dive meet and he's just messing with the divers when he pulls out
the mirror,
the canned air. And
canned air?
The horn, sorry.
Fog horn?
The horn, yeah, and just blows canned it. Air?
He's cleaning his keyboard while he's at the dive
meet. It's early.
This will get them.
I bet this is annoying.
But yeah,
or just freezes someone's tie when they're at work like an asshole.
But he
oh, no,
that was awesome.
Yeah, fuck off.
That was funny.
Walk back. Tss, you motherfucker. That looks like I came on my tie. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I just love the fact that he has no emotion at all in that movie. I mean, you see him from the first time you see him till the end of the movie, he just there. He's never happy, he's never sad, he's just himself. And pretty much, you get the impression that he doesn't like anything.
He's happy when they start fucking with this, the
yeah,
rules of school.
Towards the very, very, very end, yeah.
But my favorite part of Back to School, Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
It's the band that plays in the...
Yep. In who the also room. Did the song for Weird Science, which mm-hmm. he was also in.
Yep.
My favorite part of that movie is Rodney Dangerfield clearly doing his own stunts on the dive.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes. That's totally him.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, guys,
like how much money did they pay him?
Guy's a comedic legend and clearly an amazing athlete.
Oh yeah. Clearly. But he gets no respect.
The triple Lindy.
None. The best part about that is he lost like 100 pounds when he did it.
Yeah.
But he gained it when he came out of the water.
Yeah, yeah. He
well, they shot
ability.
Him at two separate
what
times.
What you don't see is that he spent months training for it.
Yes.
And that's how he lost all the weight. But then when he got back to the rest of the shoot, you know, after
yeah.
he had filmed that,
oh, yeah.
that's
shot
one
it
of the first.
Times.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. After
they
castaway training.
It. They filmed part of it when he was, you know, chubby and everything, and then part of it after he'd been on a deserted island for a long time.
Exactly.
All right.
But it's a good '80s movie if you've never seen it.
It's fantastic.
One of his early movies, and I like it. It's funny. It's fun to watch.
It's good times.
I think. Would you say that's your favorite Dangerfield flick?
No,
it's hard to because again, when you got Back to School, Easy Money was good. I really liked Easy Money.
Caddyshack.
A Caddyshack is a great one too.
I think Caddyshack would be one of my favorites. Yeah.
Caddyshack would have to be my favorite. With Downey
I think
with
well,
or Downey Jr. With
Dangerfield. Yeah. I know we're
and,
jumping subjects,
and you're forgetting bit. Ladybugs.
Oh God!
No,
with what's it, what the
There's
fucking
a reason
kid's
why
name
I
from Sidekicks?
Yeah, what's the kid's yeah, name? The kid in the wheelchair or the kid with the not the asthma, but remember he was in Sidekicks. But what was that other one? he was in something else that I liked a lot too. But yeah, Sidekicks is awesome because it's got the Chuck Norris in it. Yeah, it's him and like they dress him as a girl to play soccer, and it's
yeah.
like
yeah.
this would never fly right now. Like
that's
if
where,
you did this now, people
Joanna
would be like, "You
Man
motherfucker!"
Yeah.
Oh, is that where it got
yeah,
from?
The people were like, "I want to make this movie. I just really want to make a movie. What's on Netflix? Oh, Ladybugs." That's what we'll do. We'll
but
make it a
basketball. you know what you couldn't do? Reverse those. You could not make a girl like dress as a dude for that because it just wouldn't work out as well. Because like,
didn't they do that?
Yeah,
there's a
been
movie.
A couple movies. Yeah,
but to play sports though.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah,
to play sports.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah,
like,
yeah. No. yeah. The one with the bitch that's going crazy right now in real life.
that narrowed it down.
The one that's always on the internet for like being drunk all the time.
Oh, Amanda
crashing.
Bynes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Bynes. She was in a movie where she dressed up like a dude and played soccer.
I don't remember that at all. Cause
I didn't like
Amanda
Beckham.
Yeah, I knew yeah. she was in a movie where
she
dressed up
Beckham.
Like a guy, but I didn't play sports.
Yeah, I didn't think it was sports, but I don't watch those movies, Mike. So yeah, that's weird.
I've not
you do.
Seen it either.
But yeah, just because they
I
wouldn't be
at
as
a
good.
Movie theater for a long time.
So. Oh yeah, blame it on that. But this wouldn't be good at sports, so it wouldn't fit in. They're like, this dude sucks.
Yeah.
And has an awesome rack.
And then nice tits, bro.
That ass is banging. Wait, what?
What?
What am I saying?
Jock straps. Anyway, so yeah, I love that movie yeah. as well. Not the Man of Minds one that Mike's talking about, but Back to School. What's your first one you want to bring up?
So we're going, I'm going to start with my third favorite.
Usually, yeah, because it's a favorites list.
I go,
the last time we did
this. I'm
going
to put Heart and Souls on there because it seems weird. It's clear, it's really not his top three movies, but just personally, I've always enjoyed it. Like, the first time I watched it, I think it was one of the first things, like, I recognized Robert Downey Jr. from. I was like, oh, it's that guy. Like,
it's not Shaggy Dog?
Yeah, Shaggy Dog or Weird Science. But no, like, Weird Science is the first thing I remember him being in. Like that's everything I saw of him after that. I was like, oh, it's that guy from Weird Science. Because I used to watch Weird Science all the time.
Is that fuck from Weird Science?
Yeah, exactly. So Heart and Souls, people don't give it the credit it deserves. It's a really good movie. I think it's funny. It's character driven, and you'll see a trend of that on my list of favorites for Robert Downey Jr. is more of a character driven style thing, because I think he that's his strength, I think, as an actor, is to really just be other people. And he delivers dialogue. I would love to see him in a Kevin Smith movie just to deliver some of Kevin Smith's crazy dialogue, you know?
Johnny Depp did?
Yeah. It'd be awesome. But, yeah, so Heart and Souls, number three on my list. Good cast, too. Yeah. No, like, superstars outside of Downey Jr.
But people you would recognize if you saw him.
People you would recognize. Kara Sedgwick, the dude from Beethoven. What's his name? Charles Gordon.
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore before he...
Beethoven's the movie he pulls for him, too.
Yeah. Beethoven was amazing.
Beethoven's second, maybe.
More like Beethoven's third.
Wasn't he also in that movie Clifford, right? Yeah. Because he was... Yeah, he played the dad in Clifford
as
well. Because
he got, typical Hollywood fashion, typecast him as a dog owner.
No. Clifford is not Clifford a dog movie. We're not talking about Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Martin Short plays the kid.
I said he'd have a dog, though, so I guess
he big red was dog.
Red on that. No,
a giant red dog. It's much bigger than his house.
You know how awful that fucking movie was? I was like, Martin Short, I'm going to go watch that in the theater.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, you got ripped off.
Yeah.
You got really ripped off.
It's not some inner space. Are you kidding me?
All right. That's mine.
Joe, what's your first one you want to bring up?
I have no particular order because it's very hard to like.
And just pick
down
one. I know you've seen like 11 movies. Go ahead. Pick one.
Total.
Ouch. I've seen like 11 movies this past year.
Yeah, you're welcome. Shit. Yeah, you're not Ryan Shelton. Your Netflix queue isn't fucking 3,000 long.
Yeah, because I don't own Netflix.
I don't think any of us own Netflix.
A Netflix account, I should say.
There you go.
I'm going to narrow it down for Cody.
If one of us owned Netflix, this setup would be a lot better, I'm thinking.
Yeah, we would have like a nice area to record.
It wouldn't be in someone's house. It would be like at a studio.
We would have famous guests.
Awesome. Fuck them.
Oh, you Kevin Spacey, you want another season of House of Cards?
Be on my podcast. I'll put this out now. If anyone knows Kevin Spacey, I will do his podcast if he does our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be epic.
So send that out to the universe. Yep. Kevin Spacey, you're welcome to be on our podcast anytime you want.
And we're welcome to be on yours.
I will throw this out. Any famous Kevin will do their podcast because that's like
Smith,
11 people.
Spacey, Bacon.
Oh, that'd be awesome, a Kevin Bacon podcast.
All we would do is, like, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I would only have to make it to 1 degree
We'll do that. It'll eventually. Seven.
That should be an ideal. We should go 6 degrees of just a random actor and make that a podcast every now and then.
We just did that partially with Robert Downey
Jr. Yeah, exactly.
We did, but
just write it down because none of us remember it.
No.
I'm not going to write it down. Just
so my first movie would be Sherlock Holmes then.
Yeah.
Are you lumping them both together? He's doing the first movie.
I'm just doing the first movie. I mean, I did enjoy the second movie, but it's
not enough.
Might as well just hold it, Mike.
Oh, nope. Got him,
Munger.
Oh my God,
we're safe, people.
Almost pulled him, Munger.
So I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. I read every single thing that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote about him.
Nerd.
And so to see it on the big screen with Robert Downey Jr. was awesome, even though they still strayed away from the classical Sherlock Holmes. The idea behind him was still there, and the little things throughout the movie, like Irene Adler and all the stuff that you would know if you've read the books, you know, were still in there. But I think what really made me love the movie is the camaraderie between Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law's character, or Jude Law. Yeah, it was such just like a bromance that was just awesome to watch throughout the whole movie.
Their chemistry together is really fantastic, and I hate Jude Law too. So the fact that made me like this movie so much, because wow. I like both the Sherlock Holmes as well, and I don't hate Jude Law in it. Pretty impressive.
But yeah, they add a different side of the character, because he's very stoic and staunch in the actual books. But you know, with his relationship with Watson, but in these movies, like I said, it's a very big bromance type thing. You know, get that gun out of my face. It's not in your face or something. I can't remember the line
get
anymore.
Get what's in your hand out of my face.
Yeah. It's just absolutely funny. I did.
Anybody else? Any thoughts on that?
No,
Cody, you want to put your fucking phone down and
join I'm making in? A note so I remember it. All right? We all know we're all fucking idiots.
Wow.
Hey, man. I like those movies. The first one was good. I'm back on topic.
Thanks
I'm
for chiming in.
Well, I was thinking about stuff to say, but I was trying to make a note so I remember it. But no, I like those. I like those movies. The first one, I think, I liked better. The second one, the scope was better. It was bigger, you know. But the problem with that is it kind of loses the feel from the first one. Like, I know in the first one they moved around a lot, but it was like all in London.
It was still all in London. Yeah. And the second one they started branching outside of it. And I think I get what you're saying is that, you know, it was more. It was just almost a little bit too big for itself.
Also, the second one felt more of an action movie.
Yes.
Than the first one did. Yeah. Like, the first one was like that psychological thriller in a way, you know, like whodunned it. But the second one was like when the forest, like, although the train scene was fucking dope, but like then like the forest one where they're shooting through and like slow mo fucking trees exploding and stuff. It's like, God damn, this is ridiculous. It was cool. But the first one was super dope just because like all the cool stuff, like the slow mo, like doing the. When
he would
planning out his ideas, you know, that
plan
sort of
out
stuff.
His attack, and then you would suddenly see it
and
executed.
It would be like regular pace. Yeah, yeah. It was super crazy. I liked that a lot. Yeah, I mean, I like the change they made to it. A lot of people complain because it wasn't like the other Sherlock, like the originals, you know, or he wasn't methodical and blah blah blah. Like he was like
right.
More...
And I almost thought I might not like it because of that, but like I said, just because of the interaction between Holmes and Watson was just
so
hilarious.
Yeah. And Jude Law, like he tries to play like that the straight man, but like he just
when he gets all drunk and fucked up, he lets it loose. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, super awesome. But yeah, so I like those ones a lot. All right.
You're number three, Cody.
Well, Eric talked about my number two, so that's gone.
It's good that we're starting at number three, not number two, then.
Yeah, and give you a whole.
No, the problem because the problem is that he also said my number three, but I picked Weird Science, as my number three. Yeah, damn right. He stole my second one, so I'm stealing your second one. Weird Science, because he's awesome in that movie. And it's hilarious because he plays such a like an opposite to Back to School. Because like, he plays the nerdy guy who's always getting bullied. And then, I mean, they're not like, you know, combined movies, but they feel like they're in the same little worldish in a way, you know, in the 80s one. But in Weird Science, he plays the bully. In a way, like semi-jock, but not, you know, jock, but popular. It's pretty funny. But I like him in that movie because he's a sarcastic asshole. And always
that movie in general is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And it holds up. So it's very 80s, but you can watch it at any time and enjoy it. Like, there's nothing in it where you're just like, I don't think I get that because that must be an 80s thing. Like, there's 80 things in it, but you completely understand them. It holds up really well. And
Bill Paxton gets turned into a toad.
Just his character alone being the bully older brother. Hilarious.
The fucking, he nailed
the
it,
gap
dude.
In his teeth.
The makes me laugh. The way he just talks to him is so funny.
Extorts money from him.
Such a good villain for that movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I love when he's sitting there holding the shotgun over him and he's bonking him in the head with it.
Yep. Makes me laugh. But yeah.
His laugh. It was the worst laugh ever. And he made me so mad when he laughed.
And he still does the laugh when he's turned into the piece of shit.
Yeah.
What is it? Just the way it goes off.
But like practical effects, man. It was a puppet of a toad. It was all gross because he's like, all moist and like looks
it
sticky.
Looks like that's where Kevin Smith got the idea for the poop monster in Dogma.
The Golgothan.
They're like, oh, let's get that Bill Paxton puppet.
Just love
out.
One of the first things
oh,
he
says.
Oh,
he's too big for us? Oh, where's all that money coming from?
Just love what he says to his brother, too. Wyatt, I'm sorry I was such a shit. Yeah. Just made it. It was a great movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, Weird Science would be my number three pick that I would bring up.
What's her name? Super hot, too.
Back
in the day. Now,
not so much. Now, like when she was at Phoenix Comic Con, they showed like the picture, like super hot version, and then like you go look at the internet, and you're like, that picture is from a while ago.
Yeah,
it was ma'am, for being a magical created creature, you aged badly. So that's not good.
That's one of the negative side effects of being a magically created creature from a computer program is you age rough.
Fair enough.
Side effects.
Yeah. If they ever do a Weird Science 2, they're going to bring her back. We're like, oh my God, we made such an awful mistake. What have we done?
Control, delete. Control, delete. That's a computer joke, kids. Munger, your second one?
Again, mine are in no particular order, but I'm going to pick...
I'm going to pick one I forgot.
You forgot.
Oh, I didn't forget. Less Than Zero.
Ooh.
His acting in that movie was really good for what it is. I'm not saying it's one of the greatest movies ever, but if you watch his role in it, he actually plays a drug addict very well, obviously.
I wonder why.
He's very method.
Yes, very method.
Very meth head.
But if you see him in the movie, he actually does a really good job with his role. Eventually, once he becomes hooked on drugs, he can't pay for them, so he ends up having to become a male prostitute. He gets forced into doing it, and then his life just completely spirals down from there. So yeah, it's a really good movie about a friend who basically has a drug addict for a friend trying to save him, and then at the end he realizes there's nothing that he can do to save the guy. So like I said, I think he's a great actor in that movie, and I think that's when he really started to become a more serious actor, obviously. But he did a great job in it.
I don't remember seeing the movie.
Yeah.
So
I don't think most of you guys have.
I've seen it.
It was good. Yeah.
Like I said, I think he nails the role perfect and does a great job at it.
It's true. It's no pie, but it's a, you know, or no, Requiem for a Dream.
Wasn't that one of his first serious movies, too?
Yeah, because the rest were like comedies and stuff. Requiem for a Dream.
Was that was him, if I'm not mistaken, like, what, a year off of Saturday Night Live, too? Like,
yeah.
So he's coming from a strictly comedy background at that point.
All right. Michael, your second one, sir.
My number two is Iron Man 3. And I note that one. You all right there?
I just didn't want to burp in the mic.
We appreciate it.
Iron Man 3. I love all the Iron Mans. I was going to just group them all together, but it seemed like a cop-out.
Not the movie?
Yeah.
He wasn't in cop-out. It was not that Bruce Willis one.
No, Iron Man 3, mainly because of the fact Iron Man 1 is... It's a much more important movie because it's the, you know, the foundation in which the whole Marvel universe that we know right now is built upon. So it's much more significant, much more important. Iron Man 2 was a lot of fun, but I thought personally Iron Man 3 is my favorite one, and you'll kind of understand why when I get to my number one Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Nope.
But just the interaction between him and the kid.
Should have been Nova.
Yeah, it should have been Nova.
Yeah,
might
really.
Still be Nova, maybe. Could be. Planting seeds. That the fact that he, you know, it gave you something that you haven't seen out of Tony Stark yet, that, you know, the mental breakdowns, the panic attacks and stuff like that. The
MacGyver scene.
Yeah, the MacGyver scene where, and it kind of gets you back to where he was when he was in the cave in the first one, where he was just making do with what he had. He had to do that again on a, you know, a different scale. You see him out of the
store
suit.
Of a shit fucking town somewhere.
Yeah,
he does. You see him out of the suit a lot more, and so it's. I think it's more of a Tony Stark movie than an Iron Man movie, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Guy Pierce, amazing in it. His transformation, basically playing two parts.
Kevin?
Huh?
What Kevin?
What about Kevin? What?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Mandarin.
Oh Kevin. Yeah. Gandhi.
Yeah,
Gandhi.
Gandhi.
He, yeah, that twist was one of my favorite twists in movies, because you're seeing all those previews, and those fucks who have seen it were building it up too, like they're in on the joke, because they're like, who was it that tweeted out that Ben Kingsley has like the most terrifying villain role of all time?
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but it was somebody important, like somebody in the Marvel universe that has to do with
you're
it.
You're like, oh shit.
You're like, oh my god. And you get
the
god.
Twist, you're like, what the fuck?
He bamboozled us. Yeah. But yeah, so
if there was a rug, it'd be pulled out from under me.
So yeah, just everything about it. Ben Kingsley, Guy Pearce, Gwyneth Paltrow was actually a lot more enjoyable in this one than I think she was in the other ones too. And then the action sequence, the final action sequence with all the suits, awesome. Fucking amazing, dude. I've watched that scene probably 60 times, no joke. Because sometimes, yeah. The whole time till it's raw.
I can't tell which one's coming out faster, blood or sperm.
But no, I've seen that scene so many times. It's hard to keep count. But between the action sequences, the dialogue, the it's more of a character based movie. It seemed like more of a fresh. Seemed something different in the Marvel universe with that one than we had up to that point, which of course got blown out of the water again with like Guardians and Cap 2. Yeah,
you've seen Cap 3, you son of a bitch.
In the future, yeah. But yeah, so that's my
fuck. You have a time machine. Sorry,
my number two is Sam Punk number thing. Three.
Yeah. I'm just gonna segue right into Iron Man then, because it's one of my favorites of his, and it's his first like. Movie like big movie when he came back into acting,
yeah.
And I think Marvel has done such a great job casting the people for all their main characters, and you know that it just so fits. And I don't think you could put anybody else in that suit besides Robert Downey Jr.
Who did the studio want to get? Like, they didn't want Robert Downey Jr. I remember reading, like, there was a couple, like, and the list was, like, it's always, you know, after the fact you read them and you're like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But the list seemed really ridiculously stupid. It's kind of dumb. So,
good story, bro. I'm trying to think who it was, and I can't remember.
Yeah, no, I can't think of it either.
Keep talking. I got a phone. Jesus. Some of us come.
But no, I agree, because like I said, my personal favorite is three, and it's strictly for personal. But one is such a great movie for. It's.
I just always love the first movies when they do, you know, trilogies or you know anything sequels, just because it sets up the character, and I think Iron Man. Set up that character so well, updated him to you know the modern times, and
Iron Man too. Like people forget watching the Marvel movies now. These were properties that people thought you couldn't make money off of. It was like nobody wanted to do an Iron Man movie. Nobody wanted to do a Thor movie. You know what I mean? Like they didn't make any sense. People wanted to see. You know, Wolverine, X-Men, and Spider-Man. Like, that was basically it. Like, that's all the movies they wanted to make because it was the only ones proven to make any money.
Mm-hmm.
So, how ballsy it was to get Robert Downey Jr., which was mainly Jon Favreau's call. So, big ups to him. And Favreau, basically, not really the architect, but, like, he laid all the groundwork for he got this things Marvel started, universe. Yeah. So, I would love to see Favreau come back to it at some point. As you know, as a director for maybe a different franchise to start up a new one, I think would be awesome. But yeah, so Iron Man 1, probably the best example of laying foundation for a universe ever. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
And people, like I said, people forget, dude, Robert Downey Jr. was not wanted in movies at that point. Nobody wanted to work with him. Nobody thought he could draw money. Like,
and that's what I mean when he signed on to do it, and they put him. I mean, they didn't really have to put him through much makeup, but when you know he just dropped right into the role. I mean, he is Tony Stark, even from his personal background where he did, you know, dealt with the drugs and the alcoholism, and really that's a lot of what Tony Stark ends up going through with just the alcoholism. So he kind of understands it. And he just puts so much into that character, which is why I would hope that, because I think his contract is up after Captain America 3, but they're in talks right now, right? Still,
yes, three more.
Yeah,
so they signed up for it.
Yeah, so they're Avengers 2, Cap 3, Avengers 3. Avengers 2, Cap 3, Avengers 3. Right now.
Yeah.
Those are the three left.
Which I think Iron Man 4 is kind of morphed into the Captain America 3 though, hasn't it? Like,
I don't know.
Cuz that was the original idea, was Iron Man 4, but
so basically he was skirting around the question in the last couple weeks as of recording of this episode. He was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, said that he will be returning as Iron Man. Everyone assumed they meant Iron Man 4.
Yeah.
Then on the Letterman, on David Letterman, like two nights later, he admitted that there is no workings for Iron Man 4. Like, they're not even in negotiations. There's no one writing it, which is probably a fucking lie. But he's not in negotiations for it because it comes out a couple of days later. Well, as of yesterday, the night before? No, night before. Monday night, right? It's Monday night?
They announced it
for Cap 3, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to text Monday you because it was like 11:30 and I knew you'd be asleep. And I don't know what Mike was doing. Probably just masticating. That's eating, by the way.
Yeah.
But it comes out that he's going to be in Captain America 3. So that was the reason he's returning as Iron Man, but not in Iron Man 4. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is one of them.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Oh, I mean,
he just wouldn't have fit.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
Imagine him jumping. And I know that's hindsight.
Would have been fucking weird.
But like, Tom Cruise is put.
Well, the problem with that is Tom Cruise. If they made that, Terrence Howard and Don Cheadle wouldn't have fit in the War Machine suit because it would have been way too small. Because it was designed to be in on him. That was funny.
Yeah.
Because he's 4 foot nothing.
No, so that's it, Cody.
Cody, you're number two.
Johnny B. Good.
Nice.
That was the movie. Yeah. It was either that or The Pickup Artist. I couldn't figure out. I couldn't pick
Johnny
one.
Johnny B. Good is
what?
I like Johnny B. Good.
What did he? What character did he play?
He was his friend,
the best friend of Johnny B. Good. Yeah. I mean, the movie itself, it wasn't like just like Back to School and Weird Science. He wasn't the star of it, but he was in it, and his character was awesome because he was essentially freeloading.
Yeah.
Off his friend, all the free
Writing
stuff and the ladies.
Tales.
Yep. But like, Michael C. Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael C. Hall. Yeah. Anthony Michael Hall.
We got there eventually. The
blonde guy from Weird Science.
Yeah.
All right. The movie, not the TV show. It was awful. Who remembers that shit?
Nobody.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Some of us do. But yeah, Johnny B. Good is funny because like he plays a different character than he had in the other ones. Like he was a jock in it, but he was like that slacker ass jock.
Yeah,
because he was like was he the kicker?
No, I think he was just like a second string.
Yeah, like he wasn't a quarterback or like that. He was like a second string something or other. So like he didn't really play, so he wasn't gonna get a scholarship. So he was gonna go to the city college. But like Johnny had like skills, so he was gonna be touted by all of them. It's just fun to watch it. But like every time he'd come back from somewhere, he'd like have that recap of something, and he would give him something really nice or whatever, and like a big cowboy hat.
And eventually, he ends up with the Jeep from the school. And as long as he could get him to play, he gets to keep the Jeep.
Yep, and then he has to give it up because
his dad gave it to him.
Yep,
your dad's never given you anything. What's going on here? Yeah,
yeah,
it's a good movie. For what it was.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So
and that was one of the first movies that Uma Thurman was in.
Yep.
When she was young.
And she was not very attractive. She looked very plain in that movie.
Yep.
Hi. You are going to be nobody. And then you turned out to be, unfortunately, Poison Ivy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're welcome. Dumb. I'm mind control you by kissing you. Ugh. I hate that movie so much. Oh, protect myself with silicone lips. Ugh. Batman, you're better than this.
What?
That was Robin.
Batman had Batman. It too. So go fuck yourselves. They both had it.
Whoa, wow. Chill out. You want to keep moving on here?
Expect that shit from Mike, but you, really?
Fuck off.
You know you were thinking it. Yeah, exactly. So that's my number two, Johnny B. Good. Go to Eric for your third one.
All right. One of my favorite movies is going to probably make a lot of people angry because I'm going to steal it. It's Tropic Thunder.
Nope, not going to steal mine.
All right.
It doesn't make me angry.
Okay. But just liar. His role in that movie alone, a white guy playing a black guy, it's hilarious.
It's over the top. It's awesome. It's just...
And he does such a good job with it.
Exactly.
Who's also supposed to be, what is he? He's supposed to be English too? Or Australian?
Australian. He was Australian, yeah.
That just in itself was funny. Love the movie. Great movie. Everybody that's in that movie is hilarious from start to finish. I laughed nonstop.
Just the opening of it with the fake sequels.
Yeah.
Or the fake previews.
The trailers, yeah, the one with, with Downey Jr. And Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. So Iron Man, Spider-Man making out.
Ben Stiller, I can't remember the name of the movies, but they're...
Oh, the fucking... the
over-the-top action guy.
Booty Sweat.
Booty Sweat, yeah.
Alpha Chino, is that her name? So good.
What was the name of those ones? Like, he did, like, four of them. Like, the one, like, the Armageddon one was, like...
Yeah.
Hey, the ice might be gone, but I'm gonna save her because I'm so fucking
dumb. One was, like, the world was, like... Like super hot and on fire, everything was on fire, and the next one was like Ice Age version of the same thing.
Funny small part in that movie too was Matthew McConaughey as
his agent.
His agent,
yeah.
And Tom Cruise.
That was the start of
cameo.
The turn for McConaughey's career. Yeah. It was like ah, this guy was hilarious.
Hey, Tugger Nuts. How's that TiVo?
Yeah, I just love when he comes running through.
Whoa! They did not get you the TiVo.
And when he comes running through the trees with it.
Yeah.
I got your TiVo. That movie was great. Another scene that just makes me laugh every time is when Ben Stiller's getting stabbed by the child on his back.
On his back.
Yeah. Yeah. He just throws him
off and he's just go. The other one that was also another big stepping stone for Danny McBride too, because he was...
That's right.
Kind of lower level too on that one, but you're like, oh god, this dude's killing it in every movie he's in, and then Nick Nolte was hilarious in it too. Like, you don't expect him to be hilarious in anything ever, but he was fantastic in it. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Great movie.
Agreed. Anything else about that one?
No.
Yeah. Mike.
All right. So my number one. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
You motherfucker. I knew it.
I told you.
He did say it beforehand.
I thought you didn't change your mind, though. God damn it.
I told you that was going to be the number one. He's mad because I didn't. Fucking dick. Anyway, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is my favorite Robert Downey Jr. movie of all time. Also my favorite Val Kilmer movie of all time.
Really? The Saint?
The Saint is actually really good.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is my favorite. Saint's fantastic. And so is Top Secret. Is that
Top Secret?
Sure. Yeah,
that's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole nother episode, folks.
Real genius.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Oh, you know what? That might be my favorite Val Kilmer. Anyway, so Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. The connection here is the director is the same director for Iron Man 3. So I'm thinking
and star of Predator
and supporting character in Predator.
Star of Predator.
And the creator of the Lethal Weapon world. So
co-creator, if you want to be technical.
Nope, I don't. So
technically non-technical.
Director being Shane Black, the guy who co-created the Lethal Weapon world. Directed Iron Man 3, directed this. Hasn't directed a lot of things.
No, wrote like, a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's written so many things. Yeah, so many things. Like The Long Kiss Goodnight and Last Action Hero.
Oh, I love that movie, Last Action Hero.
Monster Squad. He did Monster Squad. If you're not a Shane Black fan, fuck you. Because
Eric,
this dude.
What's your line?
Wolfman doesn't have nards. I love that movie.
But yeah, so I think a lot of it, clearly Shane Black and Robert Downey Jr. have... The right ingredients.
Chemistries?
Yeah, the chemistry is definitely there. And Shane Black knows how to direct them.
So if he wants a remake, Lethal Weapon, Downey Jr. can play Mel Gibson's role.
Nah, I'd rather have him be Murtaugh.
Go
like
Blackface.
Tropic Thunder. but yeah, not a lot. I mean, this movie is a very dialogue-driven movie as well. Very different from how you're used to seeing him at this point. He's more broken down in that one. He's not very confident, shaky, scared of a lot of shit. But the action is actually pretty underrated. The action's really good in this movie, too. Val Kilmer knocks it out of the park. And then the rest of the cast is really like a ton of just supporting people. Yeah, like people like you'll recognize, and they always do a nice job, but they're never really going to lead a like any big movies or anything like that.
Corbin Burnson,
yeah. So yeah, my favorite Downey Jr. movie of all time, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. If you haven't seen it, because when I talk about this movie, a lot of people have seen it. Yeah, and it got theatrical release, didn't it?
I saw it in theaters.
See, I didn't see it, so I got this way late. I got this...
After Iron Man 3?
No. Yesterday, the first time. Now, I think the first Iron Man already come out by the time I finally got around to seeing this. Yes, but yeah, so that's my favorite. Joe?
I don't know. My next pick, U.S. Marshals. It's not like my favorite Robert Downey Jr. movie.
So good, though.
But it is a really good movie. And I will say it's not so much because Robert Downey Jr. is in it. It's just because it is just an all-around good movie. It's something that comes
on. Best sequel-ish, non-sequel-ish movie.
Right, yeah. It's so weird that, you know, they don't name it number two. They don't do The Fugitive 2, you know, or...
U.S. Marshals, The Fugitive 2 or something like that,
yeah,
or whatever.
They don't do any of that. So if you don't know that it's a sequel and you just sit there and watch it and you're sitting there going, hey, Tommy Lee Jones is
the same guy. Character.
Yeah, you know, and that one other dude, and then that they got the chick and
the Passenger
guy, and
57.
Like, yeah.
Blade's in this too.
Oh my god. They're really trying to catch him.
Mashing universes.
Oh.
Sorry.
What an asshole.
And if you haven't seen U.S. Marshals, spoilers, Robert Downey Jr., not a good guy.
No. Which is surprising. And that's probably one of his first roles where he plays kind of a badder guy. Because I can't think of anything before that where he was...
Weird Science.
That's right. But I mean, like an actual villain.
Weird Science.
You wouldn't really call him a villain, though, would you?
He's a bully. Yeah.
He's a bully.
That's a villain.
They're in high school. Your villains in high school are...
They become kind of friendly at the end.
They force him into trying to make a girl, and then like it doesn't go right because they zap the rocket and then it destroys Wyatt's
house. They still weren't friends. They just wanted something from him.
I think that's a very negative way to look at the world, sir.
What's-her-face even points that out to them.
Yeah,
it gets pointed out in the movie that's all they wanted from them was something.
It's true.
That's the only reason people are friends with anybody. Right? Only reason I'm friends with Joe is I'm hoping he hooks it up with syrup supply someday. his Canadian free pass. I want that on the weekends.
You just have to get, you know, you get to a certain age and then, you know.
They start mailing you free.
They start mailing it's you. Like, yeah, you know. It's like it's like Medicare, but for Canadians.
If you defect down to America, they're like, this was a dumb decision, but we're gonna send you some syrup to make the transition easier.
It's Canadian health insurance, like in
that's how you South guys Park. That's why you guys have free health care, is because syrup has healing powers that people haven't really realized yet because you haven't used enough of it.
Well, yeah,
bathe in it, it's regenerative. Yes, it's like when Blade gets dumped into the pool of blood and he comes out way stronger. That's how Canadians do it. If they're sick, they just jump in a pool.
Yes, their auto care cover triple A,
triple A.
Awful.
Yeah, awfully funny. But no, I mean it's just a great all around movie. Just a solid storyline. Everybody.
Obviously everyone knew The Fugitive, and I don't know, and I didn't look it up, so whatever, if this had a wide theatrical release, but I remember just seeing this was back in the day of still renting movies from a video store, so I remember just seeing this movie at the video store I used to go to. Rent a Movie was the name of it. Very clever. I remember looking at it and I'm like, oh, Tommy Lee Jones is in this movie I'd never heard of. And then I looked at the back, I was like, oh, Wesley Snipes, cool.
Yeah.
So we rented it and I was watching it and I was like, hey, that name sounds familiar. That guy looks familiar. Holy shit, this is a sequel to The Fugitive. I was like, why don't they mention that like anywhere? Yeah. Fugitive was a big hit. They could have said Fugitive 2, and it would have been a much bigger hit than it was.
Fugitive 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Die Harder.
Fugitive Harder.
Fugitive Harder with the Vengeance. But, yeah, it was a good movie. It's underrated. Nobody talks about it. So
that's why I always love when it comes on TV.
I think that was like smack dab in the middle of Downey Jr. doing lots of drugs, right? Like that was like in
that was firmly planted.
I think that was towards the end. When
That's been when it would be when it was bad, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cody
gets worse before it gets better. People.
It was like his second or third chance someone gave him to be in a movie while he was supposed to be cleaning up,
all drugged up and shits.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing if that's your favorite movie.
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
Fugitive 2?
No. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is because it's fantastic.
And Val Kilmer's character is named Gay Perry.
No, he's nicknamed Gay Perry.
No, he's named Gay Perry. That's what they credit him as.
Because they call him that in the movie, yeah. But his nickname is Gay Perry.
Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. His name's Gay Perry. It's a hilarious name.
And he's gay, so it fits.
Yeah. I make jokes about that name, too.
Fair enough.
Pretty funny.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. I like it. It is my favorite movie of his because it's amazing.
And look at us in with a whimper again.
Yes.
Thanks, Cody.
Hey, I'm not the one that stole someone else. Actually, it doesn't matter. But
even though we talked about this beforehand and went, what are you doing? And what are you doing?
Yeah, but
what
I thought he said he was going to change it because he was going to pick three movies that no one else was going to pick.
And Cody's just making shit up as he goes along right now.
No, that's what he said earlier. Is that what you said?
Like, and then I said...
Yeah, well, I didn't hear that part.
But Kiss Kiss apparently. Bang Bang is definitely my favorite, so that's going to be on there.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't hear that part.
I heard that. Yeah. Eric heard that. My brother, who's at home, heard that, because that's why he texted me. He was like, hey, did Mike say that he liked Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Is this a live stream? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's my favorite, because it's fantastic.
So, what do you guys want to talk about now?
No, we're done.
No?
That's it.
How you guys doing?
No, we're done.
Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. Cody, how you doing?
Done.
Munger, how are you?
Good.
That's good. Everyone's good?
Good.
Everyone's you guys good. Hungry?
We're good.
You know what? Someone didn't wreck the podcast. You get it? Ha. You get it?
Oh.
Because the car accidents.
Actually, that whole side of the table.
Oh, speaking of which, is that a new car or rental outside?
New car, sir.
Oh. You're not on a game show. Calm down. My name's not Pat Sajak. Relax.
Well, can I buy a vowel, Pat?
It is a new car.
Yes.
I'd like to solve a puzzle. Yes.
Well, I'm just asking you a question, dude.
What is yes?
What is yes, Pat?
What is
no,
yes,
what? I'm on the wrong
a
show.
New car.
He wagered the other half of his hand.
Fuck you, Trebek.
Ah, rough. Just the way your mother likes it, Trebek.
All right. So, yeah, that's it for this episode.
Yep.
Comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
Cody. Our special guest was
Eric.
All right.
Our guest was Munger.
I tried to make you feel good.
Don't try to fancy it up.
Hey, these people know who he is.
Well, I feel special.
Later.
Yeah. Bye.